How do you know when God's got something for you? Pastor Jenny preached last week. You know, a lot of times I'll for weeks know what I'm preaching about, but it looks really different, you know, coming up on the date of preaching than it did, you know, 3 months ago. And sometimes what changes it or what nuances it is, are the sermons that have come before it, the weeks before. And Jenny preached last week about Elijah, and Elijah having a job to do from God. He had a word from God. He knew that it was going to rain in the middle of a drought. And his job was to prophesy that. His job was to go to the enemy and say, hey, guys, it's going to rain. Do you remember that? Were you here last week? If not, listen to the podcast. So how do you know when God's got something for you to do? How can you be sure? And then how can you do it? That's kind of all life is about for me. Maybe I live in some kind of weird little Jesus box. But that's kind of life, right? Like, well, what am I supposed to do, O ye maker of me and the universe? Do you have something for me to do? Why am I here? And then how do I do it? Have you ever asked that? Like, maybe every day? I don't know. It's kind of like an existential question, right? Like, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And how do I do it? So, me being an imperfect pastor, I'm just going to share with you where I am in my life with that. Is that cool? Most of your, well, all of your pastors work other jobs, so it's not like we have just like days to sit and like, you know, make sermons. So we kind of have to preach out of our lives, which I really like. I like that. I started running a few weeks ago. I'll tell you, I saw it coming. I knew this was going to happen. Because the Spirit had been dealing with me for a few years about my physical health. And so I knew, like, we're about to get serious about this. And I had to think about that, and I go, how did I know? How did I see this coming? And I thought about a relationship, and if you're in a relationship, you know when things are coming. You know when they're about to want to spend a big bunch of money on something. Because they start talking about it. They start browsing the internet for it. Google Ads is so brilliant, and maybe, I don't know if it's like from the devil or from Jesus, because you can go look at something one time, and then it is forever in front of your face, buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me. So if you share a computer with somebody, you know what they're wanting, right? They even have like a drop hint button, like drop hint, tell someone I want this. So you know when things are coming, right? Somebody breaks up with you, whether you want to admit it or not, you knew it was coming. You knew. You may not have admitted, but you knew. If you don't know when something's coming, you're probably maybe not paying attention in a relationship. And I think there are reasons for us that make us not really be paying attention. Sometimes I don't pay attention sometimes because I'm bored. Anybody get in trouble at school because you were bored? My mom's famous saying was, only boring people get bored. That is not true. Boredom. It's just the same old, same old. If you grew up in church, you can probably relate to this. Sometimes it's just the same old, same old. And maybe God is giving you signs and hints of what's coming up, but it's just, it's just boring. You haven't done anything to spice that thing up in a while. Sometimes we don't pay attention to what the hints that God's dropping because of our pride, our ego. I can do this, I can do that myself. I'm not going to need to go in that direction. I'm never going to need that kind of help. I'm never going to need all these things. Let me run my own life. Have you ever felt like that toward God? Can I not just make my own decisions? Can I not just do my own thing? Sometimes we're not paying attention. We miss God's hints because we're in denial. We're in denial because sometimes God will even give us hints of things that we're going to pass through that we might not want to pass through. But he loves us and he sees it coming. And so he lets us know, hey, This is something we're going to have to work through. This is something that's going to happen, and I'm going to walk with you through it. And instead of going, okay, let's buckle down and get ready for it, we go, that is not going to happen. That was me with this whole running experience. Pass me some ice cream. No, it is not going to happen. And then I started running, and it hurt. Oh, man, it hurt. Sometimes we miss God's hints because just of unfamiliarity. We don't yet know his voice. Reminds me of Samuel. Remember young Samuel, the prophet who became the prophet that anointed King Saul and King David. When he was very young, he was working in the temple as a young priest helper. The Lord calls to him in the night. He's asleep. And he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel gets up and he runs to his mentor and he's like, yeah, Eli, what? I'm up. What do you need? And Eli's like, dude, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Samuel goes and lays back down and goes to sleep. Hears again, Samuel, Samuel. He's like, oh, you mean rub your feet? What do you need? Because Eli's like really old. And he's like, Samuel, go lay down. I didn't call you. They're getting on each other's nerves, I'm sure. Samuel goes and lays back down. Again, Samuel, Samuel. He goes back in, and Eli finally, by this time, he's awake, and he's like, oh, I see what's happening. Samuel's not crazy. The Lord is calling Samuel for the first time. Eli knew the voice of God. Eli knew that sometimes God calls your name in the middle of the night. Eli knows what it's like because he's been walking with the Lord. He's been the Lord's prophet for years and years. And so he says, Samuel, go back to bed, and the next time you hear your name, it's God. And this is what you say. Here I am. And sure enough, that was the night of Samuel's calling. Samuel didn't know. He didn't pick up on the hints because he just didn't know what to listen for. Look at the person next to you and say, I will help you know what to listen for. I'm going to be your friend. That's what our friends are for. That's what our pastors are for. That's what elders in the church are for. Because even if I've been walking with the Lord for like a million years, maybe he's going to speak to me in a way I've never experienced before. And I might go, Pastor Keith, this is happening and I don't understand. And Pastor Keith's like, ooh, that happened to me. Here's what you do. Just answer. It's the Lord. Just answer. And you go to the Word together and you go to prayer together and you figure out if it's the Lord speaking. So I want to ask you, what's God been saying to you lately? What are those things that keep coming up? What are the things you just can't shake? Maybe you keep meeting someone from the same country. I remember that happened to Ashley. The first time she went to Thailand, it was the weirdest thing. She kept meeting people from Thailand everywhere she went. And did that mean you go and like hop on a plane and go to Thailand? Well, no, but you figure it out. You go and you pray and you keep your eyes open. What are those hints? When I started running, it was like all of a sudden people started talking to me about health and running, and I was getting sick of it. Enough! Stop it! What are the things that keep coming up? Sometimes it's unpleasant things. Not that God's doing unpleasant things for you, but let me tell you, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he doesn't run away when bad things are coming at you. He sticks with you, and he knows everything from the end, and he might go, Raymond, buddy, I'm going to brace you because this is about to happen. There were things in my life that I did not want to happen, and I saw them coming from miles away. I was in denial. I don't want to know. What keeps coming up for you? So I'm just going to play Eli for you today, and I'm going to say, the next time it comes up, just stop and ask God about it. Don't react. Don't like go jump on a plane. Don't break up with your boyfriend. Don't do anything crazy. But don't dismiss it. Ask God about it. It's like Elijah. He saw the rain coming. And I just want to tell you that if there's something hard coming up for you, or if you're in the middle of something hard, the Lord will walk with you every step of it. It doesn't get too crazy for him. It doesn't get too scary. It doesn't get too lonely. And there are things you will go through that you think you will not survive. You think you won't make it. You think your heart will never recover. But the good news is, if you will let the Lord hold your hand, if you will let Him walk you through that, here's the good news. It's not just that He doesn't leave. It's not just that He's loyal. It's that He's restorer. It's that He holds your hand and He cries with you, knowing that He is going to restore it all in the end. He knows what's coming. He knows how broken your heart is, but He already sees how full it's going to be when He wraps it all up. He knows. And He knows what you need in those moments. Am I the only one who recognizes that I don't know what I need sometimes? Left up to me and that denial, I'm not going through that. That's not going to happen. I never would have made it, but God knows what we need. So you're going to see it coming. I bet you already do see it coming. Those things you're going to walk through. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's something that God's laid on your heart that only you can do. He's getting you ready to do it. But sometimes when we see it coming, we know the thing that's going to happen, we still get a little scared, right? Like, what if God told you? I was reading this thing about the man who started Habitat for Humanity. And when he first started it, he was going around telling everybody, I'm going to eradicate substandard living and homelessness. You know, collecting donations, he's going to be like, come help me eradicate homelessness and substandard living. Like, what? Sometimes God gives you signs of something that's coming that just seems too, it's big. It's too much that you can't even, you don't even know. And so we still get a little bit shaky about it. And what I'm finding in my life, in my narrative right now, is that God guides with His presence. And what I mean by that is, God dealt with me about running, about getting active, about doing these things, because He knows what's coming. I don't. Maybe there's some reason that this has to happen. It has to happen now. And what I found was our old meeting places, like the car. Anybody meet the Lord in the car? Or that's your time with Jesus, the shower. I know people, and they're like, you know, I don't. I'm like too sleepy. I sleep in the shower. Our old meeting places, He wasn't there. I'd go to prayer in the car. It just wasn't happening. Because that's not where we said we'd meet. The Lord's like, we talked about this. I will meet you at the gym. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my you. Why would you do that? And sure enough, there He is. I'm telling you, it was the weirdest thing. I started going to the gym. And this isn't about, not everybody needs to go to the gym. That's not what it's about. But it's about, this was the thing God was dealing with me about. And so He was there in it. I would go to the gym, which I hate. And there God was. It was like as soon as I would start my workout, He just started speaking. And my big thing was like, I don't have time to go to the gym. I have to preach. I have to write devotionals. I have to do this. I have to do that. And sure enough, as soon as I was there, all of that started coming. I would leave the gym and just like have all these notes and like, you know, devotionals till the end of time. Jane's like, then send them to me. So what I'm saying is that God will be where He's told you should be. He's not going to go, hey, I'm leading you to, you know, do this thing, and then you get there, and He's not there. He's not going to do that. He's going to be there. And not only He's there to empower you to do what He's told you to do, but He's also there to confirm that you heard Him. You heard Him right. Do you ever wonder, did I miss that? Did I thought the Lord said that, but I don't know. No, I'm the only one that thinks that. Uh-oh. So my question to you is, where are you finding God? One of the things that probably I hear the most from people is, I just am not finding God. I'm just not hearing from God. I'm just not connecting with God. You know, and the old like religious thing to say is, well, who moved? You or God? Maybe not. Maybe God have tried to move you forward and you're still standing there with your finger in your ear. Because God is a moving God. He is not changing, but He's moving us along. He's moving us to be more like Him. He's moving us to see His justice and righteousness built in the earth. He is always doing something. He's a creator. He's an artist. So what I've found is, sometimes if I'm not hearing from God, maybe He told me where to meet Him and I didn't show up. I love what Jonathan says. He says, if you're having trouble hearing God, go back to the last thing you remember Him saying. And probably you didn't do it. That's been so true for me. I don't know if you're quoting someone or if you came up with that. We'll pretend you came up with it. But that's been so true for me. Going, what was the last thing God told me? Let me go do that and then see what happens. So where are you finding God's presence? I remember there was a time I lived in the city and I started just visiting people in Midtown that lived on the street. And it just was the weirdest thing. It just kind of came out of nowhere. And that is where I was finding God at that time. Your life changes and people change, and I don't live anywhere near there now, and it just the people that I met and were my friends at that time moved. So the friends I was supposed to make, they moved on. And so maybe then God's plan moves on for me. Where are you finding God? And wherever that is, go there. A lot. If you're finding God in your car, take some drives. If you're finding God on the mountain, go take a hike. If you're finding God in service, you better be here. If you're finding God in conversations with your friends, reach out to them. Okay. We're almost done. So, I'm finally paying attention. Let's say we're finally paying attention. We're finally getting all these hints that God's dropping. He's confirmed it with His presence. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. And now you got to do the thing. Now you got to do it. I sometimes think about Pastor Keith starting this church, and I'm like, Lord, how did you know? You just started doing it. So now I actually have to do the thing, which for me in my life is running. And there's two tools I want to share with you that have been really powerful for me. And they are rest and repentance. Nice word. Not so nice word. Rest and repentance. And I'm going to tell you, whatever the thing is for you, whatever God is leading you to do, these are things that are going to be crucial for you to do the thing. Say it. I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to do the thing. And so I'm just going to tell you about rest and repentance and what that's meant for me. What I found in running is that rest is not about terrain. It's not about pace. It's about breathing. In fact, sometimes when the terrain is easy, I forget to breathe properly. And when I realize that, I go, I recognize this. I recognize this principle. This is how it is in my race with God. This is how it is on my journey with the Lord, is that whether I feel exhausted or not has nothing to do with my level of activity, how much I'm doing, how much I'm giving, how much I'm whatever. It has nothing to do with circumstances, because sometimes I feel exhausted and burnt out, and there is nothing wrong, and I'm not really doing all that much. And sometimes I feel energized and just full of vitality in the Spirit, and there's so much I don't even know when I'm sleeping. But what it does have to do with, whether or not I'm exhausted, has to do with whether I'm breathing. in the Spirit. Pastor Keith says, God is good, but good is not always God. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about looking past that surface level of just life and looking into the Spirit, what God is saying, what God is doing. So rest is about breathing in the presence of God. I love, you guys preach most of my sermon, because what I thought about doing here was talking about the names of God. If you don't know how to rest in God, how do we rest in God? How do we breathe in God? Because I think rest is active. It's not passive. To breathe properly while I'm running means I'm doing something. It's not just totally mindless. It's that I'm concentrating. I'm intentionally resting. So what is resting in the Spirit? How do you breathe in God's presence? What is that for you?
Service.
Service. That's interesting, because John, in his letters, said that we set our hearts at rest in God's presence by actively loving. I love that. I found that in my life. Which is counterintuitive, right? Oh, I need spiritual rest, so let me go do something for someone. That seems crazy, but it works. Try it. What else? Serving. Praying. Worship. I'm going to tell you, this morning, we rested in the presence of God. We actively, Lord, and when you started singing out the names of God, when you sang Restorer, Healer of my family, if you don't know what else to do and you need spiritual rest, just start praying the names of God. Your Restorer, your best friend, your Savior, your Healer, your Provider. Use your breaks to rest. When you find yourself not doing a whole bunch of stuff, take the time to let God pour into you. The other day, I felt like the Lord said, joy is like a sponge. You have to know when you're being filled up and when you're being wrung out. And don't confuse those. Because sometimes we keep trying to do and do and do and do and be wrung out, wrung out, wrung out. And the Lord's like, I'm trying to fill you up right now. I'm trying to speak to you right now. I'm trying to give you wisdom. I'm trying to give you insight in this season of your life. Because you're going to need that later. And all the time you're like, but I'm just sitting here. You ever felt like that? I'm just sitting here. There's so much I want to do and I'm not doing it. I'm just sitting here. Take that to the Lord in prayer. You might be in a season. You're sucking up wisdom and insight and all the things that you need. And then there's a time to be wrung out. There's a time to take all that wisdom and insight and love and let the Lord wring it out for the people around you or for your family or for your job or wherever that context is. Don't complain about that either. You can't be filled back up until you're wrung out. You can't move to the next step. And then the next one, it's funny. I was thinking about rest and repentance. And then I was looking at just some verses, and I realized there's actually a verse that talks about rest and repentance all in the same one. And it was Isaiah. He said, this is what the Holy of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. So we have to rest, soak in the presence of God, whether that's serving or worshiping or praying. It's active. You do rest. And then repentance. How have you heard that word? Repent. Repent! Turn or burn. Oh my word. That's a good one. The seminarian is right. It does not mean what we think it means. It's actually a pretty cool word with lots of nuances that kind of mean a lot of different things. And but I definitely don't think it means turn or burn. Some of the meanings are to return. It can mean to be sorry, it can mean to turn, or to change one's mind. And I just want to share repentance, how it's been important for me lately. So back to running, because that's sort of, I guess, my parable for this whole season of my life. So I ran cross country in high school. And so when I started running this time, I kept thinking about things she would say. And one of them was like, don't cross your arms. Like, don't run like this. Run with your arms straight ahead. Because when you cross your arm, your whole body goes like this, right? And if our goal is to go this way, when all my weight takes me this way and this way, I'm fighting myself. I'm going against myself. I'm slowing myself down, making it harder. And I'm all about making this running thing easier. Amen. So I'm like channeling my cross-country coach, like, please speak to me. And that was one of the things I remembered. I'm like, okay, keep my arms straight, straight, straight. And I heard the Lord say, sure, as anything. And this is what repentance looks like. And I was like, oh, you're right. Of course you are. But I mean, I understand what you're saying. Because what happens is, because repent means, can one of its meanings is to turn. So here's what happens. We're walking on our path with the Lord. Walking, 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 walking. Ooh, shiny thing. Ooh, person maybe I wasn't supposed to be in a relationship with, but I just couldn't resist. Ooh, maybe job that I knew I shouldn't have taken, but I just, you know, I couldn't resist. Or whatever. Just distraction. And right now, I'm really not far off my path, right? I'm just like a little bit. But like, maybe if I keep going this way and chasing it and chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. Have you ever chased something that you weren't meant to have? Have you ever chased a person you weren't meant to be with? Have you ever chased a job you wasn't never supposed to take in? It hurts. Then you got to really do the 180, right? That's the repent we heard about in Sunday school, where you're just over here in left field and you got to turn all the way back around. But what happens more often, for me, it happens at least 29 times a day. I make these little turns. Maybe I just cross my arm a little bit, and I'm like over here. And I'm just looking over here. And the Lord's here. And the Lord goes, hey, like Claudia just said. And I'm like, oh, that's repent. To turn. The buzzword in my house when I was little was focus. Focus, Deborah Lynn. And I hear the Lord saying that to me in this whole repentance thing. Focus. Oh, but this is a really good idea. Focus. Oh, but I've always wanted to do the focus. Oh, but this looks so... Deborah Lynn, focus. That's what repentance looks like in the life of a believer, I think. It's these subtle turns. It's these focus, focus, focus. It's not that like every day you have to beat yourself and be sorry for like everything you ever did. Focus, focus. Hey, hey, here, here, here. Focus, focus, focus. Pastor Keith quotes it a lot. The Lord guides us with his eye. And I didn't really know what that meant until I saw a special on sheepdogs. And it was amazing. I'm easily entertained. Focus. These dogs were herding sheep. And like they didn't even bark at the sheep. They literally looked. This wasn't the shepherd doing this. This was the dog looking at the sheep. And they would stand here. The dog didn't have to run all over the place. The dog didn't have to bark. It just looked at them and guided them with his eye. But how can I see the eye of God if I'm looking over here? And so repentance is just, hey, here I am. Look here. Repentance is a really great thing to do when you're mad at somebody. Because when you're mad at somebody, you will get yourself in all kinds of trouble. You will hurt their feelings. You will wind up being off in left field somewhere you don't even need to be. This is not in my notes, and this is probably just the end. But I think that's a really great time to go, ooh, let me just focus on the Lord for a minute. Let me not react. Let me not speak just yet. Let me not throw anything. So I want to leave you with that idea of repentance, is focus. Paul said, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's one of the meanings of repentance, to change your mind. So every day as we repent, we just take on the mind of Christ. We just intentionally and actively go, I want to think like you. I want to focus. I think that God has things for you to do in your life. I think that God is going to hold your hand every single step of that process. I think that he even knows the difficulty that you're going to walk through. And he's going to hold your hand through that too. He drops hints along the way. He's speaking all the time. The word of God is alive and active, Scripture says. He's speaking all the time. What's he saying? Where is he for you right now? Where do you find him? This week, focus on those things that he's been saying, that he keeps saying. Wherever you're finding God, keep going there. Go there some more. Rest in prayer. Rest in worship. Rest in serving someone. If you don't know how to rest in the Spirit, ask somebody. Wouldn't you love to get that email? How can I rest in the Spirit, Pastor Keith? How can I rest in the Spirit, Kathy? Ruth, how do you rest in the Spirit? Reach out to somebody. Ask. Ask the Lord and repent. Meaning focus. You know when you just feel things are going to be different, and people have been saying that, people have been preaching like something's happening, something's coming. Maybe in your personal life you're growing and it's beautiful, there's new people. I don't want to ever miss those hints that God's dropping. I don't want to ever be off in left field somewhere chasing my own idea or just being lazy. Would you stand with me? Let's just pray together. Take your neighbor's hand. Lord, I praise you because you're the God that knows the end from the very beginning. The things that you know we're going to walk through, the things that you have in mind for us, the things that you plan to protect us from and walk with us through and get us through, Lord, you're speaking about those things. Open our ears to hear what you're saying. Open our ears to let you prepare our hearts, to prepare our minds, to prepare our bodies, to prepare our lives, to receive your kingdom, whatever that means in the days to come, Lord. Lord, whether it's today or in this moment or in the week to come, that you would just speak so clearly to my brothers and my sisters about what it is that's coming up for them. To anyone who feels aimless and directionless in the room today, God, I pray that you just would make their steps clear. Let them hear your voice. Let them sense your leading. And just show us where to find you, Lord. I thank you that you're faithful to meet us, whether it's in the car or on our jobs or in the shower or in the gym or with friends. Lord, you're not confined to a box. You're not confined to a temple. You're not somehow restricted to a statue made of stone. You're living. Teach us to rest in your presence, God. Teach us to soak in your truth, to soak in your word, to hide your word in our heart. To bask in your presence, to just be sensitive to your Spirit throughout the day, to speak to the people that you would have us speak to remain silent and listen when that's what we need to do, Lord. Just keep us conscious of you because you're doing something in the earth. You're doing something in our jobs. You're doing something in our families. Let us rest and depend on you so that we can be part of that. And Lord, keep us focused. Just like Jesus prayed, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I pray that you would just deliver us from distraction. Keep our eyes fixed on you, because we don't care how good it looks, how good it smells, how good it seems, how smart of an idea it seems. We want to be in step with you. And I just pray against distraction in our minds. Even as conflict comes as a distraction, Lord, that we would focus on you. Because you're restorer of everything. And when you restore, man, it's better than anything we ever dreamed. And I pray that for these people today too, Lord, that the things that are broken, the things that seem to be over, the things that have hurt our hearts or broken our hearts or broken our wills, God, that we would start to see glimpses of your restoration and that faith would just rise up and we know that you've got it under control.